Hola, hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estamos?
Hola, muy bien, muy bien. Welcome to the Somos 21 podcast. This is Gabby.
And Kate.
And we are coming to you live from the, what highway are we on right now, Kate?
I think this is the Pacific Motorway. We are on the road again, Gabs.
We are on the road, on the Pacific Motorway, leaving, chasing the sunset back to Brisbane after having spent a whole weekend locked in a house with our Somos 21 friends.
Yes, one epic house, one epic group of friends, actually.
Yeah, it was indeed.
A very good group.
It was an epic house. There was lots of marble everywhere.
Lots of marble.
Quite the most marble I've ever seen in a house, in fact. It was quite incredible. And so we have just finished a board retreat session over the last 2 days with all of our dear fellow board members who joined us from Melbourne and Sydney, and we travelled all the way from Brisbane to the Gold Coast to have a bit of a reflect on where we've been, where we're at, and the future ahead.
And this would be the third time you and I have locked ourselves in a house.
We didn't make the last one.
So the third time the Somos 21 board has locked itself in a house. Obviously the board members that were locked in the house were all different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting process. I mean, the gloves come off, Gabs.
I think I've got some blood nose just still left over from the experience. No, but I think what we wanted to sort of reflect on today, driving home, is maybe not only the process that we had been through, but also reflect on that in the context of starting a non-for-profit is really hard. Like, it's not easy. And I think as soon as you sort of scratch the surface.
Yeah, well, every time, yeah, you think, all right, we got it. And then the next hurdle hits, and every one of these sessions is, you know, it's like the next challenge. And it's, yeah.
It makes me think about, I remember once, you probably don't know this, Kate, and I'll share it now, but once upon a time I tried to start a business back in sort of 2013-14, importing cacao from Ecuador.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
And the hats.
We had these amazing hats, and we had the best organic cacao, powder, nibs.
And the butter. You did the butter too. That was awesome.
Yeah, even the chocolate itself. It had come from this amazing farm in, rural Ecuador that was like all sustainable and really honored the farmers, and it was all this really incredible, it had this amazing story to it. But I tell you what, operationally, trying to set up distribution channels, find buyers, sell online, like it was, I used to do a market every single weekend to try and get people to try the product.
Yeah.
I must admit that was one of the hardest things I'd ever tried to do in my life.
Actually, because I had completely forgotten about that, and yeah. I don't think I ever heard the story of what happened.
Yeah. Well, we got some contracts and built up some channels, and I kind of got to a point where I just couldn't continue because it was just too much. So then I sort of yielded my portion back to my business partner, and I don't actually know what's happened now.
Oh, you stay in touch, keep in touch with that one.
Yeah, well, okay. I should text him and see where he's at. But it's just going through that process was one of the biggest lessons of my life, and I think it was at that point I realized that actually I'm not an entrepreneur. I work much better with the structure of an organization or an institution behind me, and then to be creative within that is where I feel more comfortable. But those lessons and that struggle and that perseverance, and then you sort of put that and sort of sidle it up to what we're trying to create from scratch as well.
Yeah.
It's a mountain.
And I feel like the challenges are, I mean, depending on the type of business you're wanting to run, the type of business you're wanting to start, the challenges are all completely different and at different points in the journey. And I remember when we first started with Somos, there was this, we want to be a social business, right? Because this idea that we don't want to be a charity or not-for-profit, we don't want to be dependent on this, funding, charity donations. Like, we knew that we could make this work by delivering value and having people pay for that value, and the profits that were generated, we could channel that into social impact projects, right? Like, that was that was where we're headed. And then the reality of, well, hang on a second. If you're a business and you're setting up as a business, you can go out and you see now, even with a lot of the entrepreneurial projects or events that are run, it's all around how to get VC funding, how to make your pitch to get your investors. When you're setting up a social business, you can't get investors, you can't offer equity. So unless you've got, and I remember Muhammad Yunus, the founding father of social business, came to an event in Melbourne. We listened to him talk, and he was like, you know, talking about all this stuff. And I raised the question. I said, look, but you know, as someone here in this context that's trying to start one, what the biggest block isn't, you know, the business model itself. It's the fact that we've got nowhere to go for funding, because you investors aren't willing to invest just to get their investment back with interest, right? That's not what they're looking for, that big step, the big wins. And the reality is, investment in social business is just that. You give them the money, you know, you invest the money, but that money comes back with interest over time.
Yeah.
But no investor in their right mind is going to take the risk on that small amount of return. So, and there's no investing platforms or groups or whatever you want to call it, investing in social business itself. So that, and then you don't get any perks when you set up that way in terms of the, it's not necessarily freebies, but there's a lot of benefits for being a not-for-profit and a registered not-for-profit in terms of reduced rates for certain, be it technology access or even with banks, you can, you know, fee-free kind of setups if you're a not-for-profit. So there's all of these benefits for taking the not-for-profit angle.
And isn't it, you're more in terms of like getting government grants and stuff like that? Are you better positioned as well as a not-for-profit?
Yeah. And so it becomes a challenge. So even if you think, I want to set up this way because I know that that's, you know, that's going to be the model that I want to have, when it push comes to shove and you've got to make it, you know, get yourself set up and choose the model that makes the most amount of sense to get you from A to B. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, take whatever structure works at the time. So yeah, I mean, we are a not-for-profit.
Then even just the, like, so structure aside, I guess what came through this weekend in the planning was the fact that we set this organization up between the five of us, you know, in different people's apartments. Every few weeks we catch up and plan this thing, and we planned ourselves in a way that was you know, not wanting to step on toes, trying to position ourselves to yes, there was a market need and a market failure, and we wanted to address that, but also, you know, we wanted to make sure that everyone else playing in the space was happy with our existence as well, I guess. And in that, and I guess on top of that, we had a global vision back then, but we had a very city-based reality of what we could affect within our own jurisdiction. And to have seen that now transform into something that's, you know, this global organization with, you know, users or incredible professionals on our platform all over through Australia and Latin America is super exciting. And I think this weekend really challenged us to then envision, okay, well, there's so much further we can take this. We can take this so much further, and there's so much potential. But, you know, what do we dare to dream that to be? And then how do we execute on that vision as well?
Yeah.
And
it's funny because you set yourself, and I think this is the same in life, in everything, and you know, see, we're experiencing it now in business, but you set yourself this goal and you think, right, you know, want to get here. And so for us, for a long time, even the platform was like, if we can, you know, get to that. And then now we're there, we're like, okay, now what? And then suddenly you've got this whole new world of stuff that opens up. But there's always this kind of, I'm sure you've had it professionally too, Gabs. You're like, okay, I know, I really want this role. And then you land that role and you're like, okay, well, now what?
I'm here,
that's all great, but what next, you know? And it's a really exciting what next, but there is just this like, okay, let's take stock and see. And I think that was, I really valued Jasmine, so our chair, Jasmine Sligo, who's awesome.
Hi, Jasmine.
You know, encouraging us to stop, take stock, see where we've come from, see what we have achieved, rather than suddenly being like, oh God, you know, what's next? Feeling like a little, I think that, yeah, there is a risk there of feeling a little bit overwhelmed by all of that.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And I think that's it. It's that whole thing of, and I think the beauty of these sort of online platform, these networking platforms, is that scale is, there's no limit to the scale that you could potentially reach, right? Like we can, the capability is there to be able to scale this thing, but then it's that, what does it take to scale a business in that sense?
Yeah.
And how do we do it? What's it going to cost? You know, it's...
And we did. We had some very valuable. So we've got some new members on the board.
Oh yeah, we do.
Very valuable new members. Just bringing a completely new insight, new set of skills and experience in terms of the digital space in general and technology and how it transforms or can transform business and life as we know it.
For sure. And I think as well. I think what was really interesting. I think William had said this. Hi, William.
Hi, William.
At one point is that, you know, when we talk about us as in we somos, it's not just us that are stuck in this house.
Yes, it's not the prisoners.
Yeah, it's everyone that is part of this network because they're on a platform, they've attended an event, they're a member, they are a supporter. Like
we the community.
Yeah, we the community. And I think being careful not to use the we as the board in the house, you know, voice, but also we, but more so we as the community and what we as a broader community can offer and support and drive. And I think it's so important not to lose sight of that, which I think, again, when you're trying to start and drive a business that's, you know, that's from the ground, it's really easy to lose sight of all of those people that you're influencing and touching and supporting, because we're so wrapped up in the little things that are gonna get us to that next step. Right?
Well, what is interesting though is that, like, probably for in terms of that community and the people that we have in the Somos Veintiuno community and where they're at on their Australia Latin America journey, for want of a better word, we're within the board members themselves, you know, we've got the Latin Americans that were in Latin America wanting to come to Australia. Like, what were the blocks? What were their feelings?
Yeah.
What were the challenges that they faced? What did they go through when they landed here and they were getting that, you know, trying to get that first job, working in that, you know, like, be it as a cleaner or a sandwich, you know, art sandwich artist, whatever it were. Like, the fact that every member of our board has experienced the pain points and the challenges that we are now seeking to resolve. I think that's a really, because you know, I mean, you look at a lot of companies and you've got guys on the board who might be on the board of, let's take a disability services or kids with autism, or, you know, they're not necessarily, they might not have family members, they can't really, while they can do their job as a board member and that's all well and good, their ability to really connect and understand
with
the challenges of the customers that at the organization or the network that the organization is seeking to serve, they might not have that level of connection. And
I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah, I really noticed that this weekend because a lot of stories came up. You know, we see everyone as we see them now at this current point in their life, but we don't see the challenges that they've been through in the past. We don't see the journeys that they've been on. And the fact that nearly all of them resonated with those same challenges, those same touch points that other members of our community are facing. Yeah. I just think it adds a whole other element. So when we do say we almost can't say we because we have at some point, I mean, I've obviously never felt what it's like to be a Latin American.
But you felt it from the Australian perspective though. So it's, that's the thing of it is, you know, and so I think part of the work that we've done around this whole, you know, user customer sort of interface with the platform, right? So we drilled down into sort of customer journeys and persona mapping and how to look at four key kind of archetypes of who would be engaging in our platform, what their pain points were, what our network or what Somos 21 could potentially do to alleviate that, and then perhaps where third party service providers could come in and other partnerships we could look for down the line. And even though I think we all knew all these pain points in our head, we never thought about it in that systematic way before. And I'm really excited to see how some of our service offering, as well as some of our future marketing and comms and that kind of piece, as that comes together, can be built off the back of all of this 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 customer journey mapping work that we did this weekend.
100%. And, yeah, and reinforcing what we've always said in the past, we're not seeking to become, you know, the service, you know, to respond to all these problems. That's not the point at all. It's at least acknowledging that they exist.
Yeah.
And creating a space where people that are experiencing those issues can come together, knowing and having been through it themselves. Do you know what I mean?
Like 100%.
Where they can come, they know that there's a community there that understands them, that can support them through that, and we can provide them with those tools that we didn't have when we were going through this. Like, if only I could have created my network before I arrived, if only I'd have known before I came, you know, XYZ,
yeah,
if only I could have, you know, reached out or been given this information or had access to or all of these things, and now we're like, oh yeah, but
if only I didn't know you weren't meant to kiss the interviewer before an interview. Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah. No, so true. There's a lot of really interesting learnings, and I think what I thought was most interesting too was when we pulled a lot of the positioning and the, you know, pillars and all this sort of stuff that we had put together 5 years ago, and you reflect on it now, it's really, I feel like the organization has found more of an identity in that time, and the evolution there has been quite noticeable. And I think now we just have to keep, I think it's all well and good for us to know what's really great about why this network is so valuable, etc., but now we have to just start telling people that in a better way.
Well, and it was interesting. I mean, it's always great when you get new board members, because they point out things you maybe haven't seen or express things a bit differently. And it was really interesting hearing William sort of say, well, you know, yeah, we've got, you know, the solid backbone, but I don't think this organization really knows yet what it's forming, like what. And I, that was quite exciting, because it's like all of the work we've done and all that we've managed to live till now is like, that's still formative. So where are, like, the possibility that's open to us in terms of where we're going and what we could become and can be, like, that's a really, we're a fluid organization, you know.
Yeah, we've got to evolve. And on top of that, we're all, you know, all of us that are involved at this kind of quite intimate level, we're mid career, you know, like, when not junior to mid, but yeah, quite mid. And we haven't sat on massive senior executive boards, we haven't had this kind of really top experience. Oh, well, like, we've all had our own experience.
I think that's why we've got that good balance though now.
It's
of
the
having
next exit, by the way.
Oh crap. Okay. Okay. Sorry kids, we're driving. Well, I'm driving and I don't really know where
that's all right. Exit 2. Sorry, I should have, I just saw you go one way and I was like, oh no. That's the other left.
We did have that conversation today around, you know, we've got that balance of those, you know, you like William and Jasmine, who you're experienced, you know, executive level, board director level, and then, you know, us who are, you know, learning, but also passionately engaged. Which, I mean,
for sure,
I think you'll find a lot of boards where people kind of sit and don't do much, and that's equally on, and I've had chats with multiple chairmen about this and their boards, be they, you know, not-for-profit boards or even ASX-listed, you know, public companies, where you just get directors who just don't do, you know, they're not doers, they sit back, they relax. And I quite like that we've got a board that gets it done.
Yeah.
You know, like, they get in and get it done.
But that's the way to learn, right? Like, I'm here to, you know, because we're all here for the vision and the cause. But I think, you know, the opportunity to have this kind of professional development as well is super valuable. And learning from other people and being able to upskill and have these sorts of perspectives, it's all part of the growing process.
Well, we hear that as well, right, from our chapter teams. I mean, even the volunteers that are working at a chapter team level, it's taking on new responsibility and new style of tasks that they're not getting exposure to in their day-to-day jobs, you know, ability to coordinate event, launch an event, MC a panel, like, you know, facilitate a panel, learning strategic social media and marketing and all of these skills that you can't really avoid it in this day. You know, it's good to know how to market anything. Ultimately, I guess we're all out there marketing ourselves in a sense, but they're these really valuable skills that, and the chance for them to come together and work in a team with other people as well. So I am, I'm constantly amazed by our volleys, I have to say.
Well, that's it, and I think it's the, so we're just going to go straight through.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's it. It's just, especially again, when you're a non-profit and you know, we have to rely on the goodwill and the spirit and the enthusiasm of our volunteers, right?
Well, the most rewarding, I have to say, is when the volunteers come in and they're working in, you know, like they're baristas, but they're actually financial forecasters or something, you know, so they'll come in and do
the
project
finances.
And like, look, right, can you set a forecast for us for the next, you know, and they'll do that role for us. And then we've had few, and not all financial forecasters, obviously, but in their areas of expertise. And then we're like, okay, give them a reference. And next thing you know, they're getting work in their sphere. And that's
win-win.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to allow people to do the work that they are trained
at.
And and brilliant at, exactly.
And we appreciate the help.
We do indeed, Gabby. Yes, we do. Yeah. I have to say it's... I'm a little bit drained after the weekend.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Say. It's quite intense.
Yeah.
I mean, we were, from 8:30 in the morning till 7:30 before we sort of broke for pizza. I mean, it's an intense slog.
Yeah, I think my brain sort of, I'm just going to keep going straight through all these lights. I think my brain kind of like shut down at about 4 o'clock yesterday, I must admit.
Yeah.
And then today, another solid day. But no, it's good. I think... You know, it's when trying to run an organization like this, when it's, you know, one meeting a month and then the odd kind of intermittent, you know, sort of things where we'll, you know, buddy up and text and do some bits here and there.
It's really, when you're not co-located.
Well, when you're not co-located, exactly, when it's like remote teams, I think there's even though, you know, it is a big effort to bring everyone together and for everyone to stay focused for those 2 full days. There's so much value in that.
And just saying that, like, I'm just thinking now in terms of the time investment and you know, obviously we're all volunteers, we're all giving up our time, so it's just 2 full days of time that we're devoted to this on top of, you know, the getting ourselves to these locations. And I think it you sometimes forget that sacrifice, and it's not a sacrifice, but I mean it's incredible to know how much passion and commitment there is behind this from, you know, there's 10 of us effectively.
Yeah.
They're like, yes, I'm willing to do it because I see what this can be, and that's exciting.
And I think I also think everyone can see it too, and I think that's the, you know, it's all well and good to, you know, create documents and, you know, have a Google Drive and all that stuff, but nothing sells better, or nothing beats a face-to-face conversation and that sort of connection. And I must admit, I learned things about our colleagues that I had no idea about, and I've already got a few locked in, you know, to interview for the podcast moving forward. And it's that whole thing of, you know, and people sort of pulled out these incredible skill sets that I didn't know they had either.
Yeah.
So it's...
Tracy, like, national champion for stylistic roller skating?
Artistic roller skating, which I
knew that was
new. Who even knew? But then she did this incredible axel jump in her socks on the floor.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
And she landed it perfectly. It was a perfect 10.
Still got it.
Yes.
Still got it.
But yeah, it's, you know, even... It's, you know, it's so exciting to be able to, because I don't even think I know my work colleagues as intimately as I know all of you guys, right? So it's it was a really special time, and I really hope it helps us moving forward. And you know, again, it's no small feat to start one of these things, and I feel so in awe of anyone that wants to start a business or run a business. And even from a work point of view, we just keep going straight all the way. You know, we deal often with a lot of startups or a lot of founder CEOs of companies, and you know, they sometimes they've got their blinkers on and they're just in tunnel vision and they don't look up to see the opportunities that are blaringly obvious in front of them. But that's because they're so focused on, you know, bringing in the money and paying the bills and looking after their staff and, like, you know, delivering a better product and all of these incredible things, pitching for VC, that you know, all of this peripheral stuff can come in. And it's, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say is that if any self-starter, anyone trying to do this, it's just, it's not easy, but it's really rewarding.
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, and you've seen a lot of these from a lot of different angles, you know,
yeah.
Like you mentioned the chocolate one,
yeah.
You've obviously had Somos where it was like from the outset, co-founding,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
And then you've had the recent experience stepping onto a board of an organization that was sort of finding itself and investing
yeah.
your time in there. And you know, and that, you know, these things don't always work out. The people
yeah.
element is huge. And I think we're
people
quite...
People is everything.
Everything.
People's everything.
Absolutely
yeah.
everything. And I think we're really quite lucky that... You know, we've had a really solid community. You know, like our co-founders, we were like a family.
Mm-hmm.
The board that we have now, as you said, like it feels like a family. I mean,
for sure.
There, and the fact that we're all pulling in the same direction, and not because, as you say, not because of money or profits or whatever, but because we truly believe in
what we're
in
trying
what
to
we're
do.
Doing.
Yeah, you're so right.
That I think that almost binds you and pulls you through whatever, you know, you're like, and well, they say this even with man's, what's that book that was, someone Frankel, like Man's Search for Meaning, but he's talking about this is a bit grim, but, you know, the Holocaust and the guys that survived, and the ones that survived because they had a deeper found or intrinsic purpose for living beyond what was happening.
Wow.
And I think that's then, even listening to Talia actually do her video on when you're pushing through and you want to learn a language, know your why. Like, be so 100%, remember 100% why it is you're wanting to learn this language, because
yeah.
it's going to get tough. Like, if you know, if you can remember the why and stick, have that purpose so solid, it makes it so much easier to push through the tough bits to find the solution, because no just isn't an option. Because you're like,
yeah.
this needs to exist. And we've said this before, like this
needs
to exist. The community needs it. The Australia-Latin America relationship needs it.
For sure.
We need to make this happen. And there's no two ways about it. So whatever gets thrown at us,
we
just got to deal with it.
And I think that's why that first session we did with that, you know, start with why, Simon Sinek, everyone knows it. And if you don't, go watch it on TED Talks.
It's a pity they didn't change that microphone a little earlier.
I know, but you know, did you notice he was so focused he didn't even like lose his,
no.
he was all over it. But you know, it was, yeah, turning left. But that process of starting with why and everything just flows as a result of that is something that we concentrated on in one of the first sessions, and actually probably one of the easiest things to all come to an agreement on, to be
yeah.
honest. Like we found a lot of common ground in that through a lot of shared experience.
Not that we were fighting or batting heads the rest of the time.
Oh no, I just mean that it's kind of great, because it means that we're all in it
yeah.
for very similar reasons, and hopefully that is sustaining, you know. And speaking of sustaining, just turn right here.
Right. We might be reaching the end of our podcast, because
yeah,
I feel like we're nearly at Gabby's
yeah,
place.
Yeah, we are. And so if we just go right, hang on. Sorry, listeners.
Apologies for the, you know,
and then
GPS.
Just pull over. I'm just this one on the left here.
Okay,
so pull
awesome.
Over wherever, and then we'll wrap up. But,
all right, sounds good.
Yeah. But no, it was, I think, you know, long weekend, exhausting, but really, really valuable, and we just, I just thought we should
just wrap.
Yeah, have a little a moment to just give a shout out to anyone that's on their own, trying to start a business, trying to make it work for themselves, and going through these really hard times.
Well, yeah, find your tribe. Well, that was, and sorry, just to extend
yeah.
this out, we're just, you know, illegally parked out the front of Gabby's now,
yeah,
but this
fine.
Is probably quite important, was something Natty raised when she came in, was, you know, this idea of her as a business, a Latin American business owner in Australia, and, you know, starting out your own
mm.
thing, is you're wanting to connect with other business owners, you know,
yeah.
because it can be really
tough.
Lonely. And I remember I think it was the Somos Meeting, you know, Sydney event that we actually recorded. A lot of the people that were there were entrepreneurs that were like, it's just a really lonely existence, you know, because and this is why I feel so blessed with Somos, is it's never been lonely, because there's so many people involved in this community, you know,
yeah.
all the chapter leads, all the board members, it is like a massive family. But if I was setting up a business on my own and it was just me, that's
isolating,
really isolating.
Yeah.
Really, really isolating. So, well, that might be another one. You know, if you're on the platform and you are an entrepreneur and you want to reach out to other entrepreneurs,
yeah,
and just go grab a coffee, it. Share some ideas, just search for entrepreneurs in Sydney or wherever you happen to be,
yeah,
and just connect and be like, hey, do you want to share challenges, insights, whatever it might be? Just don't be alone.
It's okay. But that's it. It's all the whole essence of find your tribe wherever you are, a group of like-minded people that are professionals that are just like you, and maybe that can contribute towards, you know, people finding a sense of community and a sense of place, especially when they're in a new place,
which is what we're all about.
Yeah, exactly. But hey, so we've arrived to our destination. So I think without delaying this too much longer, I think that's a podcast.
Yeah, agreed.
But and actually, it's quite nice to just have a moment to reflect on all the goings on over the weekend as well.
Nice way to pass the time.
Yeah. But I think, you know, our dear listeners, thank you for joining us. I think, you know, we'll be bringing in a few, we'll be doing some interviews, bringing in some experts and having those discussions around maybe some of those key pain points that we identified as a result of our persona mapping,
yep.
Which I think would be super, super helpful. But
and that might be helpful as well when we do that for you guys to share, like what your pain points would be, what your challenges, so that we can, you know, have a think about it. Have we missed any? I feel like we've addressed so many pain points, I doubt. Yeah. But that's would be really good to hear from you on what are the challenges, what might have helped you, what would you have potentially done differently or thought about doing differently. That would be really
And fun. If you want to lock yourself in a house with us, I think we'll...
I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I mean, just there'll be an opportunity to do that too. You know, we'll be having our AGM later this year. We'll spill some board positions. We'll put that right open out to our network. So, you know, all members welcome to apply. And we just, you know, we want to put together a really, you know, again, another fabulous team to drive this thing forward. So yeah,
it's get amongst it.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway,
Have a great week all. And we will touch base. Well, if not next week, before, because Gabby, I think, has some awesome
interviews lined up. I have some things up my sleeve.
Very exciting.
But yeah, enjoy the rest of your weekend, guys. And go have a great week.
Awesome.
Thanks all. Thanks, Kate.
Ciao. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye.